Time of worship together, and greetings to those who may be visiting this morning, and to those who will hear the service via the website or via recording. I pray that our time together will be a blessing to us all. And now for the intimations. As always, in the unlikely event of a fire, if you make your way to the emergency exits and out to the assembly point, and playground, I think it is. Tea and coffee, as always, if those want to continue the fellowship over a cup of tea or coffee and a biscuit are invited to do so after the service. The Guild meet on Tuesday the 25th, and the speaker is going to be Rebecca McGonigal from World Mission, and the title of the project is Empowering Young Mothers in Zambia. Crafts, again, we have the display of cards for a whole variety of occasions. So if you haven't already done so, and even if you have done so, please do have a look at the cards again and make some purchases. Now, the questions answered, I've got a sort of wording of my own for this one. As we move towards union gathers pace, it's doubtless that there will be questions and comments raised. To give an opportunity to have these addressed, for the next few weeks, a box will be set out so anyone can write a question or a comment and drop it into the box. There are cards and pens there by the boxes. Now, this can be done anonymously, and after the middle of March, the boxes will be opened and the questions or comments sifted to try to identify common themes. And then on Sunday, the 29th of March, the fifth Sunday of that month, when we normally have a service that's a bit different, it's hoped to be able to address any concerns and answer the questions that have been raised. Now this, from Ross's point of view, and is really very important, and I would endorse this. It's quite a big job putting these things together. And if you don't get the intimations in time, it's quite hard to slip them in. So Ross really needs the intimations before on the Wednesday before the service. So if you have an intimation you want included, it's the Wednesday before the service, because otherwise it may not appear till the following Sunday. The Church Magazine, I saw Alan just now delivering the Church Magazines, so if elders could collect the Church Magazines for distribution, they are on the stage at the moment. And there's going to be a change in the pastoral care. Dave Sutherland is on holiday at the moment, so as is Scott Cameron, so any urgent pastoral matters be taken care of by Douglas Crichton, and his phone number is there. Okay. It's with sadness that I have to intimate the death on Friday morning of David Frew. Our thoughts are with David's children and their families at this time as they come to terms with their loss. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for David's life and his contribution in this part of your church. We ask that his family, who will feel his loss most keenly, will be aware of your comforting presence as they seek to rebuild their lives without him. Amen. The theme of this morning's service is light. Perhaps I should have changed that to heat, but it's light. In the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 60, at verses 19 and 20, we read, "No longer will you need the sun or moon to give you light, for the Lord your God will be your everlasting light, and he will be your glory. The sun will never set, the moon will not go down, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. Your days of mourning will come to an end." Our first hymn this morning speaks of God as the pure Father of light. Let's sing together, "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise." Thank you. now come before God in prayer, our prayers of approach and confession. Let us pray. Almighty God, we have praised you in the words, immortal, invisible, God only wise, and now we seek to approach you in prayer. Our heads and hearts bow to you in recognition that of ourselves we have no right of approach other than through your gracious invitation. Your word teaches us that your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Yet in your power and glory, you still allow us to come into your presence. Indeed, you invite and encourage us to come to you. We marvel at your creation, from the wonders of the earth to the mysterious depths of the universe. We are in awe of the knowledge that you share with us, that gives us a glimpse of the miracle that sustains life and the laws that govern the motions of the stars. We bow our heads in your presence, in the knowledge of how far we stray from your path. Dear Lord, we seek your forgiveness for our sins. We fail to follow the example you gave us in Jesus, your Son. Too often our actions or inactions betray that love that you show to us. We satisfy self and forget others. Too often, our words are like the words of those who mocked at Jesus' trial and called for his death. We belittle others and promote ourselves. Too often, our thoughts are worldly, thoughts of envy and greed, seeking only to satisfy self. Heavenly Father, forgive us for our sins, both deliberate and unintentional. Help us to enjoy the freedom gained through following the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose words we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We now move to our readings, and I hope we don't get into a fangle here, since we're only going to be using one microphone, so it may not be completely smooth, but we will get there. Paul refers to light in his letters, and we will hear from two of them this morning. The readings will only be made once. Firstly, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 14, and the readings are taken from the New Living Translation, and Catherine is going to read for us. Hear the word of God.
Never done this before. Had a microphone. Follow God's example in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased because that sacrifice was like sweet perfume to him. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place amongst God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, they are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is really an idolater who worships the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the terrible anger of God comes upon those who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do, for though your hearts were once full of darkness, now you are full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, rebuke and expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But when the light shines in them, it becomes clear how evil these things are. And where your light shines, it will expose their evil deeds. This is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The next reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians verses 1 to verse 11. I really don't need to write to you about how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying, "All is well, everything is peaceful and secure," then disaster will fall upon them, as suddenly as a woman's birth pains begin when her child is about to be born, and there will be no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be sober. Night is the time for sleep and the time when people get drunk. But let us who live in the light think clearly and protected by the body armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God decided to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. He died for us so that we can live with him forever, whether we are dead or alive at the time of his return. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing.
It's fine. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. I hope you noticed that just before the start of the service, we played a recording by the Christian band Rend of the song called My Lighthouse. I deliberately chose a different video because the video for that particular recording shows the words. And if we look briefly at verse 1, I hope. There we go. In my wrestling, in my doubt, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are my peace in my troubled sea. Like the lighthouse in the photo, God stands firmly with us, no matter what is happening round about us. He's our guide through the storms of life, who's always there whenever we need him. Like a lighthouse sending out its unique signal, God will always show where we are on our journey with him. Like the lighthouse signal, we can't mistake where we are because each signal is unique, just as what God says to us is unique. And in verse 2, I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. The second lighthouse is not in a very promising position, but it's positioned there in the rocks, give warnings to the sailors of what's ahead if they don't take care. How like God, who knows our every thought and plan. If we proceed safely, we will accept God's warning and make sure our lives travel in the safety of his ways. And the third verse, fire before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms. And as the third picture shows, in times of storm, we need a guide to see us safely through. What the lighthouse does for the sailor, God can do for us. His light penetrates the world's darkness to show us his way, and we in turn should reflect that light to others. We continue in our second hymn, which is Jesus Bids Us Shine. Now make our offering to help to dispel the darkness found in many lives. The offering. Prayer to bless the offering and of thanksgiving and intercession. Let us pray. Lord, we wish to share your light with others. Use our offering to take your light to the individuals who still live in darkness so that they learn what a difference you can bring to every life. And our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the light given by your word and the example Jesus gave by being the lighthouse whose beam reaches far across the world. We give special thanks for those who have gone before us carrying the torches for your church, which they have now handed on to us. They kept the flame of faith glowing in a world where there are too many shadows. We offer thanks for the things of every day, the people we often take for granted, who keep us safe, who grow and deliver our food, who look after our health when we are ill. We depend on so many people who go unnoticed and forgotten till some crisis reminds us to give thanks for their presence. This past week, many have had cause to thank the efforts of emergency services in times of flood. We thank you for their commitment to help others in times of need. Lord, we thank you for the gift of faith to sustain us when the world seems an unwelcoming and alien place. Almighty God, your word tells us that in the beginning you gave us power over the world and all of nature. We ask that where we have abused that power and abused the earth, that you will guide us to restore the balance of your creation. We ask for your comfort for those who have suffered in the recent flooding. Build them up so that they can rebuild their lives. Lord, enter the minds of those who live by violence and bring peace to their hearts. Bring peace to those ravaged by war or the evil deeds of individuals. May peace filter down from nations to families to individuals so that your light can shine brightly throughout the world. That the light of your love shine in those who have suffered the darkness of bereavement. Comfort them as they cope with the loss of loved ones. And Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our minister, Dave and Brian, as they work for you in our town. Hear these prayers which we offer through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Saviour. Amen. Our next hymn reminds us of the chaos that accompanies the darkness of living without God, God whose almighty word. Of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. As I thought about light as a theme for this morning's service, I was open to the temptation of launching into a physics lesson, as light was always one of my favourite topics, and it would be a shame if I wasn't to share that enthusiasm. Nevertheless, you're going to be deprived of that experience, as I want to turn our focus, to the light that God brings to every person and to every situation. That light can be in the form of enlightenment, setting the standard, making bright and clear how God wants us to live. Its glow also shows how we are living compared to that standard. And let's consider together the result when God's light shines on people just like us, and then think about the effect of us reflecting God's light to others. Remember what we read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw that it was good. So right at the beginning of creation, God made light. A light that banishes darkness, just as believing and trusting God banishes darkness from our lives. And remember that key sentence, and God saw that it was good. We first encounter God's light with the very first people. When that light revealed sin, which upset God's plan for creation right at the very beginning. Reflect in our own lives. When we are revealed in God's light, are we on his path? Are we following the plan that God has for our lives? Can we resist the urges and influences that seek to deflect us away from God? When these urges and influences present themselves, how do we try to deal with them to ensure that we don't go astray? We can turn to prayer and trusted Christian friends to be our guides so that we continue traveling with God rather than giving in to temptation. We can turn to God's Word, the ultimate guidebook. Let's look together at some examples from the Bible where we find people standing in the glow of God's light. First, consider Noah. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 sums up the situation that had developed. Now, the earth had become corrupt in God's sight, and it was filled with violence. When we look at the news, it's an all too familiar theme. When God looks at us today, he must see many examples that are dark echoes of the behavior in the time of Noah. But in God's examination of Noah's world, he sees this, Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless man living in the earth at the time. He consistently followed God's will and enjoyed a close relationship with him. Such is God's light that even in a world of sin, he could see the example that Noah was setting. An example that sadly the rest of humanity at the time ignored. We will spend more time later thinking about the example that we set and how effective it is. Sadly, in Noah's time, God could only arrive at one course of action. Noah and his family had to be saved and the rest of the world destroyed. We must give thanks that such an outcome does not await us. God has promised that such destruction will never happen again and sent his Son to pay the price for sin for us all. That is a message that we should strive to let everyone hear. Let's move on now to Moses. In many ways, he seems an unpromising individual to lead the Israelites. Though born a Jew, he had been brought up in the Egyptian royal court. As an adult, his contact with Jews did not go well. He was seen as an unwelcome, interfering outsider. Could that be the perception of the church today and the perception of Christians in society? But maybe that's not a bad thing if we take into account what Paul wrote to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Is this not exactly what happened to Moses in his encounter with God at the burning bush? What people around him saw and what God saw revealed in his light was quite different. Moses was not the misfit, but the leader. Certainly, he moaned a bit and he had to be persuaded, but that's just like us. God has things for us to do. Much as we might wriggle and squirm, we know what is needed. Are we going to be like Moses and take on the task God has set for us? Or are we going to fall into the world's ways and just ignore God's promptings? Whatever our decision, we cannot get away from the revealing light of God. Look at what happens when one of God's appointed turns to their own path. And a good example of this is Saul. You know the saying, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. He started off well, but then the power went to his head, and he strayed far away from the path God had laid out for him. How often the reflection we need to pay most attention to is our own. Do we see what God sees and act accordingly? Or do we proceed like Saul and stray from the privilege of working for and with God? By contrast, look at an example where dedication to God's promptings has results that exceed anything that we might have expected. Such an example is Daniel. In everything he did, he was obedient to God. In what he ate, in his worship, he was true to God. God guided Daniel's life so that despite being in exile, literally a foreigner in a foreign land, he was given great responsibility by the king. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, we read, "The king talked with each of them, and none of them impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they were appointed to his regular staff of advisors. The king found the advice of these young men to be 10 times better than that of all the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom." Over and over again, we read of the king praising God because of the wisdom and actions of Daniel. That's something for all of us to aim at. Do our actions ever inspire others to praise God? Daniel and his companions really did reflect God's light to others. They were indeed shining examples to others in terms of faithfulness and obedience. But it's not always those in places of power who are effective for God. Take the servant slave girl in the story of Naaman and leprosy. Naaman had the power in worldly terms, the commander of the army, but in God's eyes, he was misguided and full of pride. It took the words of that Israelite captive working in Naaman's household to encourage his wife to challenge that pride. It's so easy to become puffed up by one's own importance. If we are truthful, and once again look at ourselves in the reflection thrown by God's light, that pride can be seen. We can be quick to see it in others, but slow to see it in ourselves. Can we be like Naaman, who, cured of his leprosy as a result of that initial prompt, is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 15 and 17 as saying, "I know at last that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. From now on, I will never again offer any burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other God except the Lord." There is the challenge that God puts before us all. Can we be the spark like the one that the servant girl gave to Naaman to see him not only cured, but worshipping the one true God? Our background, our history, doesn't matter. God has a purpose for each one of us. That leading light, that searchlight, can reveal just where we are in that journey with God. Take Jesus' meeting with the Samaritan woman at the well. It's another example of someone the religious leaders of the day would consider best avoided. She was a Samaritan and a woman of suspect morals. Not the sort of company a so-called respectable person would keep. But we find Jesus asking her for water and engaging her in conversation. How good are we at meeting society's outcasts today? We are told of the deprivation that surrounds us, but can we see the church's role? Can we see our role? With Jesus as our guide, we can reflect God's light to others, just as this woman did. On returning to her village, she shared the story of her meeting with Jesus, and the result is noted by John in chapter 4, verses 39 to 42. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I did." When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay at their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many of them to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe because we've heard him ourselves, not just because of what you told us. He is indeed the Savior of the world." We could continue looking at so many examples in the Bible, some of the individuals led by God's light, some reflecting God's light to others, and those who find their misguided thoughts and actions exposed by God's light. Just try to shed more light on our role as reflectors. I found the words in Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 4 most helpful. He draws attention to the idea of gifts given to the church, summed up in these verses. First of all, verses 4 to 7. "We are all one body, we have the same spirit, and we've all been called to the same glorious future. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there is only one God and Father who is over all and in us all and living through us all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift according to the generosity of Christ." And then at verses 11 to 13, "He is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up his church, the body of Christ, until we come to such unity in our knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature, full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ." I don't know about you, but I find Paul's assertion quite challenging. As ever, Paul doesn't mince his words. He has given each one of us a special gift. Yes, each one of us has a role to play in God's church. Sadly, we don't always fulfill that role. Our reflector has become tarnished. To echo Paul's words, we haven't reached maturity in the Lord. The roles Paul lists sound daunting. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I'm sure that these are not titles any of us would give ourselves. They are perhaps more applicable to the leaders in God's church. But whatever our role, the church will not thrive if we don't play our part. We must use God's gifts to shine brightly for him, literally to be shining examples in what we say and do. Then we will have reached that maturity which allows us to play our full part in his church and in building his kingdom. In our journey this morning, we have met many different people and briefly looked at how they appeared in God's light. It's all summed up in these few verses from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, as recorded by Matthew in chapter 5 of his Gospel, at verses 13 to 16. "You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it useful again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand to shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." These words, addressed to us all, are worth repeating. You are the light of the world, like a city in a mountain glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it in a stand to shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Amen. So let it be. Our final hymn this morning reminds us that our walk should be with God, and in His light, the Spirit lives to set us free. Father, we ask for your continued guidance so that we might shine for you. Help us to be that beacon that shines into the lives of those around us, reflecting your care and love to others. And to him who loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. May the peace.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our door.